الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The famous historian Muhammad ibn Ishaq rahimahullah mentions that 60 ayat of Surah Ali Imran relate to the battle of Uhud. These ayat give very fine description and details of various aspects of the battle. And it gives us another angle to what we have already discussed. Because what we have discussed is the incident as it had transpired, what happened on the battlefield. However, these ayat relate and address the state of mind of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. As per the state of their mind, their mental condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed them, advised them, reproached them, gave them glad tidings, consoled them, based on their state of mind. So these ayat give a very different angle to this entire incident. Although these ayat primarily relate to the battle of Uhud, there are many lessons that we can derive from these ayat. Because these ayat lay down principles for the ummah to come right till Qiyamah. One of the first ayat relating to the battle of Uhud mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, the fourth juz of the Quran, is the ayat wala tahinu wala tahzanu wa antumul a'lawna in kuntum mu'minin. Do not lose courage, do not grieve, you will be victorious if you are true believers. It was obvious that because of what had happened on the battlefield, the losses that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had suffered, and that also because of a mistake of theirs, then it was obvious that they would feel down. It was possible that they would lose courage to fight the enemy in the future. And obviously they would be grieving over their losses. Shaitan also would take advantage of the situation. Then the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, would also take advantage of the situation and try to make the Sahaba radiallahu anhum despondent, depressed, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this very, very profound ayat. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Sahaba radiallahu anhum that do not waste your time in crying over your losses. Yes, you will be grieved, but don't get stuck in your losses. Don't get so caught up in the past that you can't move ahead for the future. So do not grieve over the past and do not lose courage for the future. Rather, you should have courage and you should have determination. Your spirits should be high. Focus on the future by strengthening your iman. In kuntum mu'mineen, this is the condition, the precondition of victory Allah has outlined in this ayat. Many a times we all are concerned about the state of the ummah and why the ummah is so low, why the ummah is so weak. But Allah explains very, very clearly, in no uncertain and ambiguous terms, Allah explains the precondition for the ummah to be victorious. Antumul a'lawna in kuntum mu'mineen. If you have the precondition of iman, of true iman, and iman will translate in ita'at, in obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So focus on this and inshallah you will be victorious in the future. This is also a principle for every person in his personal life, the challenges that a person may go through. So a person goes through some loss, whether it be loss of wealth, whether it be loss of someone that's close to him, near and dear to him. Now one is that we will grieve for a certain time, but we can't get so stuck up in that loss and that calamity of ours that we can't think for the future. Rather, we need to pick up ourselves and try and put the pieces together and move ahead in life. Otherwise, it becomes extremely difficult for a person to continue with life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, again consoling them, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That if wounds have afflicted you, then definitely wounds afflicted the nation, referring to, meaning in Badr, they lost so many people. They lost so many men, they suffered such great losses. And in the beginning of the battle of Uhud as well, they had so many losses that they suffered. But that did not deter them. That did not stop them. Despite them being disbelievers, although they suffered so much in Badr, they still were motivated to come back the next year and fight you in Uhud. So if these disbelievers did not lose heart and lose courage because of the losses that they suffered, then why should you lose heart? Why should you lose heart? Why should you lose courage? Rather, you should be motivated. And Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, that these days of victory and loss, we alternate it between people. That means sometimes a person will be victorious, sometimes a certain group will be victorious, at times another group would be victorious. It's not that all the time one group would be victorious. And there was great hikmat and great wisdom in this. If the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Muslims had to always be victorious and suffer no losses, then the munafiqeen, the hypocrites would have joined them. Because everything is going well on their side. There's no difficulties that they're going through. So the munafiqeen would have been with them all the time. But now when they are suffering losses as well, this is a test for the munafiqeen. It's a test for the iman of people. Now the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, will not align themselves totally with them because they know that we will suffer losses on this side as well. So وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And this is also a principle for life, that a person cannot always win. A person cannot always make profit. We will have our good days and we will have our bad days. We will have our good days and we will have our not so good days. We will have those days when everything is working out for us. And we will have those days when everything seems like it's not working out for us. Allah explains this principle here. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, that days of prosperity will alternate between people. Thereafter, in a few ayat thereafter, or in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains four wisdoms for the losses that Sahaba radiallahu anhum suffered in Uhud. Allah explains four wisdoms, four hidden wisdoms that our mind will not go through. Outwardly it seems that it was only loss. There was no blessing in it. But Allah is showing the blessings in disguise, in the losses that Sahaba radiallahu anhum suffered in Uhud. The first blessing and first wisdom, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the true people of iman known. Those people that were true in the iman, their iman will come to the fore. And those that were not true in the iman, the hypocrites, as we discussed in the beginning, 300 of them before the battle already deserted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So, in our simple terms, it will separate the men from the boys. There have to be difficulties that will come. If there's no difficulty, there's no test, then the separation will not happen. So Allah allowed this separation to happen. Allah allowed this difficulty to come in Uhud. And thereafter, the losses that Sahaba suffered, etc., that distinguished the people of true iman from those that were just pretending to be Muslims. So, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. The second wisdom, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bless many of you with shahadat and martyrdom. The great rank of shahadat. If there were no losses in the battle, how would Sahaba radiallahu anhum attain this great rank of martyrdom and shahadat? So whilst there were so many losses, but equal to the losses were those that were accepted as shuhada in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ shuhada. Such a great privilege and bounty to be accepted as a shaheed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this also was a great wisdom and a blessing of the battle of Uhud. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between these wisdoms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an important point. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not love the oppressors. That means do not think that the disbelievers were victorious because Allah loves them, because Allah has a soft spot towards them. Rather, this is no sign that Allah loves them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is with the believers and not with the disbelievers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two more wisdoms. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify and cleanse the people of iman. to purify them and cleanse them from all their sins. Because when difficulties comes to a person, it's a cleansing process for that person. Whatever sins a person has, all falls away. Whatever inconvenience may come to a person, it becomes a means of washing off a person's sins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given examples of this. One example is like how in the autumn season, the leaves fall off a tree. In the similar manner, sins fall away and are washed away from a person when difficulties come to him. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And if that person does not have any sins, then it becomes a means of رَفْعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ, of his ranks in Jannah being elevated and being escalated. So, this is a fourth wisdom in the loss that Sahaba radiallahu anhum suffered in Uhud. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions lastly, وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And another wisdom is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out the disbelievers. What is meant by Allah wiping out the disbelievers by the losses that were suffered by the Muslims? There's two explanations to this. One explanation is that they will become more blatant. They will become more brazen. When they see, hey, we won the battle. So they will become more brazen and they will come back. They will come back to fight. And in this way they will be wiped out. And the second explanation is how they will be destroyed when the blood of the friends of Allah are shed. Then the ghairat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into action. Then the self-esteem and self-honor of Allah comes into action. And then Allah will take revenge for the losses that were suffered and for the blood of his awliya and friends that he spilled. Allah will take revenge for that. In that manner, the kuffar would be destroyed. So four wisdoms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, blessings in disguise for this, behind the losses that Sahaba radiallahu anhu suffered in Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That do you think that you will enter Jannah with such ease, without any difficulties coming to you? أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think that you will enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not yet distinguished those that are striving in His path. وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah has not distinguished those that are patient. So these difficulties come to distinguish those that endure, those that persevere, those that are steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in executing the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah explains in this ayat that you will have to sacrifice for Jannat. For Jannat, you will have to sacrifice. It's not just a walk in a park. With ease you will enter Jannat. There will be difficulties, various types of difficulties. But Allah will put you through these difficulties to see the level of your patience, the level of your endurance, and all this contributes to your entry into Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. That you were desirous of shahadat, you were desirous of death, referring to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's desire for shahadat, for martyrdom, as we had explained in the beginning, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was discussing with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, should we stay in Madinah Munawwara or should we go out? And those Sahaba radiallahu anhum that missed the opportunity in Badr, and the younger Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were more spirited, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, take us out to face our enemy because we have desire for shahadat. So this was your desire. And based on your desire, Allah blessed you with shahadat. So now you should not feel down. You should not lose heart. Rather, this was what you desired and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with that. The next ayat is the famous ayat that was discussed previously as well. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. The detailed explanation we had discussed earlier on. But an important point in this ayat was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing the minds of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for the inevitable reality. The inevitable reality was, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely leave this world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely leave this world one day. And Allah was preparing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for that day. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to leave this world, then how will they respond at that time? So during the battle of Uhud, there was this period when that rumor was spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been made shaheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautioned Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding their response. Those that lost heart and felt that now we should not continue fighting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Afa immata aw qutilan qalabtum ala aqabikum." If Rasulullah has to pass away, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be made shaheed, will you turn on your heels? So this was a training for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So that the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, and on that day, with so much of conviction and certainty, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu could come in front of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and recite this exactly same ayat, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ. Although Sahaba radiallahu anhum heard this ayat before, this ayat was revealed on the occasion of Uhud, yet Sahaba radiallahu anhum say, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited the ayat on that time, it was as if we are hearing this ayat for the first time. And it brought complete consolation to us, and it brought closure to the matter. This ayat brought closure to the Sahaba radiallahu, to the matter of the demise of Rasulullah for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum 8 years after the revelation of this ayat. Then after a few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions giving encouragement to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and also reproaching those that left the battlefield for some time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the people of the past and the way in which they endured in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. That there were so many anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam who fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. And they had pious people, many pious people with them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding these pious people, فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. These ayat are very amazing ayat, which can apply to anyone that is involved in any type of khidmah and service of deen. When we are serving deen, in whatever capacity it may be, then there will be those times when we feel down. There will be certain halat and conditions that will come, that will put us down. And at that time, sometimes we feel, now it's enough. It's enough, I can't manage it anymore. Allah revealed these very, very profound ayat, encouraging Sahaba radiallahu anhum and encouraging every person that will be striving for deen. It can even apply to a person who is becoming a hafiz of Quran. Sometimes while doing hifz, a time may come when a person feels, I can't manage it anymore. These ayat also apply to us. So, these ayat, the application of these ayat are very, very diverse. Can apply in different ways. Allah says, there were so many anbiya of the past that fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had pious people fighting alongside with them. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Allah says, they did not lose heart because of the difficulties that came to them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. They did not become weak. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. And they did not submit to the enemy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah loves those that endure, those that persevere, those that continue. Allah loves those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special assistance and help will be with them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains. Yeah, this ayat was actually a reminder for Sahaba radiallahu anhum that when these people of the past, of the nations of the past, when they persevered so much, when they endured so much, then you that are khairul ummah, you that is the best ummah, how much more you supposed to be enduring and persevering. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions four amazing du'as that these people would make. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says that the only thing they said, they did not complain, they did not lose heart, they did not become weak. The only thing that they said was, إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. O Allah, forgive our sins. Now on one hand, Allah is explaining that they were so steadfast. They endured so much, they persevered so much. But at the same time, Allah is showing their humility. That based on their endurance and perseverance, they did not feel proud of themselves. This is how we behaved. No, Allah is saying that they were so humble, that they humbled themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. And they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Forgive our sins, whatever sins we may have had. Sins become obstacles and hurdles in the path of our success. Whatever the work we may be involved in and engaged in, then sins become hurdles and obstacles. So they first clearing those hurdles and those obstacles. They clearing those landmines, that those landmines of sin that will become a problem for us achieving success. Oh Allah, forgive those sins of ours. All our past sins, oh Allah, forgive it. Wa israfana fi amrina. And oh Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings in this matter. We can never do it as we're supposed to be doing it. We cannot do the work of Anbiya as we are supposed to be doing the work of Anbiya. We regularly say this. So we cannot fulfill the huquq of these works. Whatever the works of deen may be, we cannot fulfill the rights of these works. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings in this matter of ours, in these works that we are involved in. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And oh Allah, you keep us firm. Oh Allah, on our own we can't remain firm. You keep us firm. You keep us steadfast in the service of deen, in the service of your deen, in fighting the path, in your path. Oh Allah, you keep us firm. And then, وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقُومِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh Allah, you assist us against our enemy, against the kuffar, against the disbelievers. One is a person fighting against the disbelievers, then the enemy is an enemy that he can see. It's a physical enemy, it's a visible enemy. But in other khidmat of deen, other services of deen, then we have enemies from within. We have concealed enemies. We have shaitan. We have our nafs that all the time try to put us off. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help for assistance against these enemies. Such a comprehensive dua that we should be making. And inshallah this will make it easy for us to fulfill the various deeni responsibilities that and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the result of this dua. After they behaved in this way and they made this dua, فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah says that Allah blessed them with the good rewards of akhirat. One or two ayat very quickly. Obviously we can't go through all the ayat. One is a very important ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are lenient towards them. It is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are lenient towards them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard-hearted, and if you were harsh and hard-hearted, then they would have ran away from around you. Now here, it was obvious again that since the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were those few Sahaba radiallahu anhum that did not hold firm to the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, the Muslims had to suffer such losses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was injured. His Mubarak blood was spilt. So it was possible. It was possible that this would hurt. It would hurt the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there would be some type of disinclination in the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah SAW towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was a possibility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very, very amazing manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah SAW that, O Nabi of Allah, you should not move your attention away from them. Don't allow your attention to be moved away from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Do not become disinclined towards them. Do not be harsh and hard towards them. But Allah's love for His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when Allah is advising him, Allah advises him also in such a unique manner. Allah tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah doesn't tell him and instruct him that don't do this and do this. Rather, Allah addresses Rasulullah sallam in this unique manner that it is because of Allah's mercy and favor upon you, you are soft towards them. And if you had to be harsh and hard-hearted towards them, they would have run away from you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In order to take care of the feelings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Who are these people? They are those people who had not fulfilled the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because of that, such losses were suffered by Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But Allah is still taking care of their feelings. And He wants His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take three steps in order to take care of the feelings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Firstly, fa'fu anhum. It explains the exalted position of Sahaba as well. That even when they committed this mistake, Allah is still taking care of their feelings to such an extent. It was obvious now that they would feel very hurt. and they will not be very open to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will not give suggestions to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the future. So Allah tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fa'fu anhum." Firstly, you forgive them. You forgive them from your side. Wastaghfir lahum. Then secondly, you ask for forgiveness on their behalf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they hear you asking for forgiveness on their behalf, it will take care of their feelings. They will understand that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no ill feelings towards us. And then thirdly, go to this extent, washawirhum fil amr. Make mashura with them as well. You join them in your mashura. Take suggestions from them. Why? Because now they will know everything is normal. Everything is back to normal. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no ill feelings whatsoever towards us. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the feelings of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Many other great lessons, importance of mashura, etc. that are contained in this ayat. But the important point that we learn from this ayat is that when doing the efforts of deen, then what should be our heart? What should be our state of mind? It should be that of softness, of gentleness, of leniency. Even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that although sahaba radiallahu anhum displayed such love and sacrifice for you on the battlefield of Uhud, but if you had to be harsh and hard-hearted, these people also would not be able to manage. If sahaba radiallahu anhum would have not been able to manage, when if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be harsh and hard-hearted, where would people manage in today's time? If we have to be harsh and hard-hearted, and we have to be difficult in our approach when inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also another very great lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand these great lessons that are contained in this ayat and to imbibe them in our lives. Inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss one small ghazwa that happened the next day after the battle of Uhud, and that is the ghazwa of Hamra'ul Asad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.